This is a regular board meeting of the Gamatillo Independent School District. Sonia, can you please call up?
Yes, Ms. Ritzy.
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Here.
Mr. Molina.
Here.
Mrs. Quintana.
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Present.
Mrs.
Present.
Searles.
Here.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Here.
Item C, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one indivisible.
Madam Chair, with regard to the occurrence that happened in Belgium with the terrorist attacks, I'd like to ask if we could have 1 minute of silence for the victims and the country of Belgium, and we can send our prayers and our love.
Is
that
okay? Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, you may be seated.
Sonia, may we have the first item, please?
Item E, CISD mission and vision statements.
Ms. Iglesias and Ms. Rose?
Sure.
Whichever you'd like.
I'll do the vision statement.
Okay.
Gamatillo ISD is a premier school district with nationally ranked multi-literate graduates ready to excel in college, their careers, their community, and in life.
The Gamatillo mission statement. Gamatillo ISD's purpose is to provide high-quality educational experiences that will inspire and prepare all students to apply the knowledge and skills necessary to become effective leaders and productive citizens.
Item number two, board honors, Mr. Griffin. A, recognition of the CMS 7th grade girls basketball team and 8th grade girls basketball team for both completing an undefeated season and being named Little 12 conference champions.
Yes, thank you. The board president, Fritzy, and members of the board, Dr. Galavese, may I ask all of you to please come forward in front of the dais as we recognize this month's board honors. Thank you. It gives us great pleasure to begin tonight's honors by recognizing some truly gifted and talented student athletes from Gamatillo Middle School as an example to their commitment to excellence and, most importantly, to each other. Both the 7th and 8th grade CMS basketball teams earned the title of Little 12 West Division champions after they both went undefeated in conference play this season with a incredible record of 12 wins and zero losses. Under the leadership of coaches Mark Rivera and Joe Bueno, and the support of their parents and campus community, these Lady Eagles are true examples of what it means to be a student in Canutillo. So let's begin by recognizing the 7th grade team, if you can all come up here first, followed by the 8th grade team, together with Coach Rivera and Coach Bueno, who will then take a group shot of everybody. So please, put your hands together for CMS. Here. Go ahead and shake everybody's hand if you don't mind. And followed by our 8th grade champions. Congratulations. Also ask our principal, Mark Haas, if you can come on up here, and our athletic coordinator, okay, ladies and gentlemen, yes, let's all the best gallery there. We're going to squeeze everybody into the shot here. Made a certificate of recognition with both team photos of both teams on, together there in that large frame, so we'll make sure it goes into a place of prominence. Okay, are we going to do two separate photos or one?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm losing you a little, Miss Kim.
Just a little.
Oh, yeah, she's behind
you. You're lost. That's all.
Any
home.
Y'all come up.
Okay, now our 8th grade girls. Yeah, so 7th grade girls come on down. And then we're going to have our 8th grade girls come on up. Established in 1999 with the goal of developing leaders for America's future, the Gates Millennium Scholarship Program is funded by a $1.6 billion grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The GMS program removes the financial barriers to education for high-performing, low-income students. And each year, it enables 5,000 students to attend and graduate from 800 of the most selected private and public schools in the country, including Ivy League colleges, flagship state universities, and UNCF member institutions and other minority-serving institutions. We are very proud to recognize two exceptional KNTU ISD seniors this evening who have been selected as finalists for the 2016 Gates Millennium Scholarship. This is Mr. Daniel Cisneros from KNTU High School. Up at the same time, as well as Miss Alondra Sierra from Northwest Girls. As you know, both students are the top of their class and have been involved in a variety of extracurricular activities at their respective campuses. We wish them the very best in their Gates Millennium Scholarship process and know that both of these students will do exceptionally well in the future with their KNTU ISD education. May I also ask our campus principals, Ms. Teresa Clapsettle and Ms. Tracy Speaker, together with Daniel and Alondra's parents, to please join us here for the photo. Yay!
At the regional UIL solo and ensemble competition in February on the bass clarinet.
Now, it's tough to play a bass clarinet, let alone go to the highest level in a state's competition on this incredibly difficult instrument. So it's with great pride that we welcome Mr. Antonio Flores, who earned a first division at regional UIL solo and ensemble competition that was held this past February at Hanks High School. And now he's qualified to compete at the state level in the Texas State Solo and Ensemble Competition, which will be held May 28th to the 30th at the University of Texas at Austin. Mr. Flores performed a solo on the bass clarinet entitled Undercurrent. This was a Class 1 solo, which is the most difficult level to perform, and he did it all by memory.
Wow.
This is a great achievement for him, as well as an awesome event for him during his senior year. He's been a member of the Eagle Pride Marching Band for all 4 years, as well as a member of the CHS Concert Band. So let's congratulate Mr. Flores for a job well done.
Okay.
Second.
One, two, and three. One more. One, two, and three.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Item D, recognition of the Student Support Services Department and community volunteers who founded the CISD Community Closet.
Thank you. After months of collecting and sorting hundreds of donations from the greater Canateo community, the Canateo ISD Community Closet officially opened its doors the first week of February. Organized by our Student Support Services Department, together with the valiant efforts of the Canateo Parent Club and our parent liaisons, the CISD Community Closet features a large selection of shoes, clothes, and school supplies to assist our students and parents in need. The bulk of the items were donated courtesy of last year's charitable events with Socorro ISD, including the Shots for Shoes basketball game and the Go Gridiron Flag football game. Other members of the community, of course, donated almost new suits, coats, shoes, and dresses to help our parents dress for success when interviewing for job opportunities. The items are being given to CISD students and parents based on referral from our parent liaisons, and donor recipients must live within our district boundaries. The folks who are about to be recognized truly provide a hand up to our students and parents and embody ancient wise words that no act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. Let us now welcome the staff from Student Support Services under the direction of Dr. Monica Reyes, together with the CISD parent liaisons and the dedicated volunteers of the Canateo Parent Club, and thank them for all they do to make our community a better place.
This is Dunkey Elementary School. They are very important parents.
Really?
Because their parent center is
right there.
Because the Premier Center is it's complicated.
And so this also allows the students
entry-level music experience at any time. It helps develop lifelong skills as well as increases student esteem. And it also builds partnerships within the community, not only with higher education, but also with the community. As well as with mariachi being very mobile, it's an ensemble where it could be included in any type of environment. And so in conclusion, I'd like to be able to present a more formal report at a later date. And this is the product of one of my students who's one of my protégés, Miss Ashley Castillo. In conclusion, thank you very much for the opportunity, and I wish you all the very best.
Thank you.
Ms. Castillo has also signed up. She's one of our speakers.
Good afternoon. My name is Ashley Castillo, and I'm a senior in Penelope High School. I'm very excited and very thankful that you guys support us, and you always have like that upper, like, I don't know, it's really nice they come here and just greet us with like hype in and like teach us how to like sing us another song, and we can meet you up. For Christmas, and we're thankful that you're always like on us and you're always asking us to like hear another song or like the concert of the choir. And I just want to say that this is has really impacted my life because I come from a long way, and mariachi has been like something I can just like color myself and just, I don't know, it's just something very beautiful that I can just present to you guys. And when I'm singing, when I'm playing my guitarra, it's very beautiful, and I think it's very I'm very thankful you guys help us out in general. And I'm thankful that, like, I know like it's been a little while since Miss Morgan joined us in the mariachi, but she's helped us a lot. Like I was the first singer for like last year, and now like I like in 3 or 4 months I learned how to play a 5-string guitar. And I'm thankful that like professionals come to our classroom and show us how to be an actor when we're like performing. And I'm really thankful that we have that opportunity, and I know it's very like a short amount of time. And we've become like very professional, and we come out the fact that we can hold someone at this place and this place. And we're just thankful that you're helping us this time be something bigger, and we're really just barely starting. And now that I'm graduating, like I'm very happy that now we have more kids coming in and being in our group. And well, I think that's really pretty, like, and very like nice for us, like just to kind of on our culture as a senior, teaching other people how to like play guitar, feel like violin. And I'm thankful for everything you guys.
Thank you.
Veronica Andugo.
Hi, good evening, Superintendent Galaviz, President Fritzy, and Board of Trustees. I would like to take this time to introduce myself. My name is Veronica Andugo, and I am the new school district social worker. I would like to thank the school board for allowing me the opportunity to join the Galavio Independent School District family. I look forward to working closely with the district to help students and their families resolve personal, emotional, social, familial, and psychosocial problems and stressors that interfere with their adjustment to school and their ability to enjoy the benefits of the educational process. I'm currently working on a community resource bank to be posted on the Student Support Services webpage for campus and community support. I am networking and collaborating with outside community agencies and liaisons in order to build a relationship and bring forth an array of resources for our community. I've been introducing myself at all the TLC meetings held by Dr. Reyes in order to provide staff an understanding of my purpose as a social worker for the school district and to explain the referral process for services within the Student Support Services Department. I'm working closely with Dr. Reyes in developing a caseload and presentations for the students and parents. In the past 2-month period I've come on board, I've received approximately 27 referrals thus far, and I do look forward to making a positive impact on this community, seeing that my mother has been working for the district for over 15 years, and both my children have been students here since kindergarten.
Again, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity.
Sonia, if we may suspend the rules so that we can greet her, and then we'll bring them back in for the next person.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And welcome aboard. Thank you.
Thank you.
May we have the next speaker?
April Galaviz.
Board members, I still want to introduce myself. My name is April Galaviz, no relation to Dr. Galaviz. Just to make that clear. I'm the learning community of Canopio ISD. I'm the new testing coordinator for the district, so I took over John Warren. I've been on the job for about 3 weeks now, so I've been participating in your testing the festivities. But so far, it's been going good. I'm enjoying making connections and relationships with the different campuses. And if I may, I just want to greet you to thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
If we may suspend the rules once more in between the speakers.
Thank you so much. Welcome aboard, hon.
Thank you.
Usually I give a home, but
so now may we have the next speaker, please?
Yes, ma'am. Teresa Dobson.
Good evening, and President Dr. Galaviz. I just wanted to take a few moments and present to y'all the panoramic picture for the class of 2016 for Central Office. Next month, I look forward to updating you on a graduating class. And so they're doing a great job and they're accomplishing a lot of great things as you saw tonight. So we're very excited, but I wanted to make sure that I presented this to you all so it can be hung up here in Central Office. Okay. And I'll hand it off to Ms. Sonia. Is that okay? That's kind of it. Okay. Give it to Mr. T. Sure.
Thank you, Ms. Clausen.
You're welcome.
Make sure it'll have your baby in it.
No, yes. Ooh. Or am I?
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. So, ma'am, may we have the next speaker, please?
Our final speaker is Dr. Behe.
A lot of babies. Yes.
Dr. Galaviz, President Pritzi, and board members, I too would like to thank you, express my gratitude for this opportunity to work in such a fabulous school district. I arrived, this is day 7, and to a very exciting time in this district. I look forward to working with all of the principals, with all of the campuses. To date, we have visited 8 of the 10 campuses and have been introduced to the staff at 8 of the campuses. And I can say that everyone has been so welcoming. I truly enjoy working with my team. I truly enjoy this community. And it is a coming back home to El Paso after 27 years of being away. So my mom and dad, thank you too. Thank you very much.
Discussion and recommendation regarding pedestrian concerns near Canopio High School. Ms. Castillo?
Good evening, members of the board. Dr. Galavis. As requested during last Wednesday committee meeting, I have prepared a recommendation to address the pedestrian concerns at Hermitillo High School. I'd like to direct your attention to the screen so you can see a few images that will help me illustrate the issue. This is an aerial view of the high school. North is up, the freeway is on the right side of the screen, and the area of concern is that southeast border
right there.
What happens is that many students use this access road for vehicular access as a way to exit the school and then go onto the adjacent neighborhood. And that puts them at risk of being run over by vehicles coming in or out of the site. Those two roads converge right here, and we have two access points for each lane of traffic. Some of the students exit the building through this wing. Some of the students are coming from the field. And again, this is the access road that they're using. They're walking on actual pavement. The black dotted line represents an existing fence that sits just adjacent to the concrete curb. That's a view of the one of the wings. They walk down that sidewalk. They cross that street. It's that street. They cross over that piece of land. And then they have to cross again, over here. But they get nowhere because we have that fence right there. So that's the reason why they're walking on the street to get out of the property. The chaining fence is 6 feet tall. And on the other side of the fence, there's a riprap wall. It's used to prevent erosion because of the level of the change in level. And as you can see, there is a significant drop from this edge down to the bottom of that wall. So what the proposal that we came up with is to provide new crosswalks on each of the two roads, to locate new speed bumps in front of those crosswalks, to provide and install new traffic signs, and to create a new fence along the edge, the south edge of the wall, because as I mentioned before, there's a risk of students falling over, so we need to provide an additional fence to prevent them from falling. We would create an opening on the existing fence, and that way that would create a little bit of a walkway to lead them out of the property. Finally, because that wall was never meant to be a walkable surface, and because it's made out of rock, it's very uneven, so we need to pave it with some sort of concrete material to make sure that it's a surface, a solid, and even surface. At the end of that, we would have also, my apologies, we would have a gate to be able to secure the property again. We've run an estimate in our department, and thankfully this is work that we would be able to do with our own forces. We would just have to buy materials, and right now the cost is getting around $5,000 to do all of this.
We $5,000, and like I was telling the students, 3 weeks to practice.
Yes, that's correct. And we would take about 3 weeks to perform the work.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Question? At the end of the walkway that you built towards the was it South Desert, is that correct?
Correct.
South Desert Boulevard, will you be making a sidewalk additional to connect to the other sidewalks? Or is it just going to the street? Because then I see another safety issue.
At this moment, it will have to stop at the property line. Because that corner right there is actually the two corners of our properties. We wouldn't be able to build anything on the adjacent property. Of course, you know, outside of our property, we wouldn't be able to build anything. So the proposal right now is to have the walkway stop right at our property line.
So would it be safe if we just stop it right at the line? In other words, are we putting kids out onto the street, or are we putting them sort of inside?
No, there's still a setback from the actual street of, I think it's over 20 feet from the frontage road.
Go ahead.
I was going to move to approve to go forward.
I'll second that.
Sonia?
But I had a question. In regards to, I believe at the outlet mall, you're actually seeing, I don't know if that's a road or if that's going to be a walkway. Can we get an update to see what that is? I think it's from, yeah, so it's
on
coming down.
The opposite corner of the site?
Now, it's like a walkway that's coming, and it looks like they're doing a bridge. I don't know if that's a walkway or if that's going to be a car path. And so, figure that, if we could get that info, and then also look to see if that is a walkway, if they're going to look at doing that on from farm, what is it?
Are you talking about the construction on Desert Boulevard right there at the intersection? That's an extra lane. It's not.
It's going to be a lane?
It's an extra lane. It's not a walkway.
So it's going to be a lane that?
It's going to be a lane to alleviate the traffic coming out from the mall into I-10 and Trans Mountain. It's another lane of traffic.
Yeah.
It's not
cycling. Because they're actually putting a bridge right next to the Chevron. Well, I was seeing if that was going to be a walkway path to see if they were going to extend it from Artcraft, or not
all
from Artcraft.
Yeah,
all the way down.
I can inquire and confirm what the plan is.
And then the other thing, I just wanted to thank the students for bringing this to our attention. I think it's good to get feedback like that. So. Thank you.
Sonia?
There's a motion and a second. Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Item 5, Board of Trustee Business, A, overview of finance part of the Facilities Planning Committee meeting of March 16, 2016.
Good job.
Yeah, good job, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 5, Board of Trustees Business A, Overview of Finance Project Facilities. Planning Committee meeting of March the 16th, 2016. Ms. Searles.
Yes, Chairman Fritzy and members of the board, we had quite a robust and exciting meeting the other night. I thank everybody from the community that came, including our students who were here, to follow up on this important safety issue. You can see from tonight's agenda what has gone forward and what has not, and the thing that everybody was worried about didn't go forward. So I think we can all feel happy. And the minutes are there. Does anyone have any questions about the minutes? I think it was a well-attended meeting. Everybody good with them? And with that, I read them. They were very good minutes. I move to approve the minutes as recorded and presented.
Sonia?
Mr. Sek, I believe that you wanted to go ahead and change the order of the system. Is that correct?
Yes. We, with the board's approval, respect of staff that we have here.
There needs to be a second approval. On the minutes.
Second. Usually we approve the minutes
in the
next.
After, but if you okay. Like, is that fine?
Yeah, it's on the. It's not on the agenda to approve.
Yeah, it's not on consent.
This is. It's not an action item.
Okay.
So we are going to move with
7B, instruction number 1, discussion and recommendation regarding the Northwest Early College High School 2016-2017 calendar. Ms. Speaker and Mr. Griffin.
Yes. Do we have any questions on approval of the calendar?
Move to approve as presented.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. No questions? Okay. Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item would be also that is going to be presented by Dr. Kearney, but again, respect that our staff is here waiting. So.
And that would be item B4, discussion and recommendation regarding the request for various staff members to attend the 2016 EPL World Conference, which will offer professional development that will teach STEM, EPL strategies, and activities to be used in the classroom.
So move to approve.
There
a second?
Who's
the second?
And a second.
Doesn't matter, I'll be the second.
Any questions? No? Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Yes, 2 and 3, I think. Let's go back, Sonia, to number 2.
All right. Under B, instruction, item 2, discussion and recommendation regarding teacher professional development workshop through the Independent Contractor College Board to strengthen 6 through 12 pre-AP AP alignment as part of a continuum of learning. Ms. Rocha and Mrs. Campbell?
Move to approve as presented.
I second it.
There was a motion, first and a second. No questions. Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Torres?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item 3, discussion and recommendation regarding an agreement with EPISD Regional Day School for the Deaf to assist with shared professional services and with tuition costs for the hearing impaired student population. Mr. Chambers?
Second.
Ms. Quintana, I'm sorry, that was a...
Apple.
Okay, and then the second was Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Ms. Fritzy, did you want to go back to consent agenda?
Yes.
Administration recommends approval as presented.
Move to approve that
letter.
There's a motion and a second. Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Consent agenda passes. Item number 7, new business, A policy, discussion and recommendation regarding the creation of a Canandaigua ISD police force. Mr. Garrido?
Do we have any questions on this item, Board?
Move to approve as presented.
Ms. Searles?
Well, before you all do that, I think we need to...
It's a resolution.
I wasn't here for the committee meeting, with the committee meeting. Okay, we're moving forward then with the initial steps. This is not actually authorization to create a police force.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes, Mr.
Legal, in regards to setting up the, this is just the resolution part or the steps?
Mr. Carrillo.
This is just for the bond, correct?
Yes, this is just for the bond, just for the recognition.
That's correct.
You're recognized for.
To start the process.
The policy allows the district to do that and to, through policy, authorize the creation ultimately of the police force. My understanding is this item is for the first initial step to declare that we want to do that, and then Mr. Bayo will flesh it out and bring back the timeline for staffing and everything else. But,
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Go ahead,
Mr. Blanco, have you read your resolution?
Yes, actually, Mr. Fedio sent me the documents. I've got the binder. They're very well put together. He and I exchanged some emails about future planning and budgeting, and that's the only thing that remains because it's just the first step. And so it will be coming back to you, I guess, somewhere down the road. I'm getting
yes, sir. That's correct.
And so it was... But you read this, all of this
yes.
only indicates that we're not spending any money. My understanding it was $1,000 to get this bond. This is not saying we just hired a bunch of people, gave them some uniforms. And
correct.
That isn't happening.
That's not happening. Okay. Thank you.
Yesterday, is that on the show? I'm sorry.
Yes, that is.
We had asked Mr. Garrido to provide us with some kind of timeline, and that's what we're being provided to. Does anybody have any questions for what they see in front of me?
I don't know.
It's right there.
Oh. Well, yeah, I've got a lot of questions. We don't, I mean, it looks like we're canceling a lot of things. We're cutting budgets. How do we have the money for all of this?
This timeline is, let's do for one thing first. Let's get bonded in $1,000. I know the board asked for phases, but I think we still need to have some discussion on phases that are realistic. Phases that we can do, so I wasn't privy to this timeline, so I guess just requesting that the board, whatever was presented yesterday as far as the bonding, $1,000, let's do that first, get that done, and then we can get into the phases, phase one, phase two, phase three, because we still don't know whether we're going to be bonded or not.
Right.
So let's just do that first.
To answer your question, Ms. Searles, I do believe we were given information yesterday regarding the possibility of receiving grants to cover a lot of these expenses. But first, we must be commissioned in order to receive some of these grants.
Yeah.
So it was, we need to do step one first, and I think this is sort of, although albeit a very ambitious timeline, it's just that it's more of here's what's going to happen in steps, but not in particular.
And we are not approving this.
No, we're not.
No, we're in a way. We had asked him yesterday for a timeline of maybe expectations
yes.
and what he saw happening within the next few years. And so this is why he gave us this today.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Sonia?
That was not, can I have the first? Again, there was no second.
Motion to approve as presented.
I'll second.
Ms. Fritzi.
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Yes.
Mr. Medina.
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mrs. Searles.
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Yes.
Item passes. Number two, discussion and recommendation regarding regulation CPCA phone internet data allowances. Ms. Carrasco.
Move to approve as presented.
I'll second.
A motion and a second?
Yes.
Ms. Fritzi.
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Yes.
Mr. Medina.
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mrs. Searles.
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Yes.
Motion passes. Item three, discussion and recommendation regarding Board of Trustee Committee meetings. Mr. Rodriguez.
Just real quick, we did have a discussion on this yesterday, and the recommendation of the committee was to go ahead and guide or ask for guidance and to ask for a draft policy from both legal and staff in regards to the setting of pretty much what, I guess I did more research in looking at what ISLETA does on their workshop agenda, as well as putting all the agenda items that are on that following board meeting, so that way we could do the same as well. And one of the things that I want to make sure and clarify, I've known that there's been some discussion out there that we want to limit input from community, and that's not what we want. We want to make sure that the public is invited and that we're all on the same page. In other words, the committee structure has three people, and so that's why the committee structure only had certain people on the dais, and I think it's important for all of us to be up here so that way the community could hold us accountable and could ask us questions and make sure that all of us are on the same page. And so that's what one of the major goals is, and the other one is to make sure that we become more efficient and effective. And so with that, I'm going to make a motion that we have
legal. I've got some questions and comments.
Let me make the motion, and I could amend it after that. So what I'm going to do is make a motion to direct both staff and legal to come up with a policy that's going to allow us all to be on the dais in regards to, I guess, the workshop setup, and to make sure that we allow public comment, so that way that's one of the major goals, is to be transparent. The other thing, looking at ISLETA, they also have all their meetings for the year on the calendar, and so looking at something like that, so that way the community knows in advance that, hey, 2-3 months, this is going to be the workshop meeting that's going to look at reviewing the agenda, and then looking at any of the other functions within that workshop. And the other thing that I would like to see added on there is that the community is allowed now with technology to say, hey, I want to get an email reminder. I'm sure we could set up so that way the community could get engaged, and to, if there is a once the agenda is posted, that it's sent out as an email to the whole people that are on that listserv. So looking at drafting that policy, and that's my motion.
Can you clarify your motion, sir?
So my motion is to look at making sure, while the goal one is to
direct
make sure
staff and legal, is that correct?
Yes. Okay. To come up with the policy in regards to I guess the best example is ISLETA, and then we could tweak it from there at the next committee meeting.
So direct staff and legal to create a policy more consistent with a workshop setting?
Correct.
Okay.
And the goal of that is to make sure that everybody is on the same page at the table, and then the other thing is to make sure that we include public comment.
So I just want to clarify what I hear. The motion is to direct staff and legal to create a policy consistent with a workshop setting for board meetings. Is that correct?
For not for board meetings, but for the community meeting.
Community meetings.
Yeah. Do you want to go over technicalities?
Yeah, let me tell you how different school districts do it a different way. The district already has a policy, BDB local regarding standing committees. Every school district here in El Paso has that same local policy, but they all use them differently. Canutillo and Socorro use standing committees, three members of the board, to go over agenda items for the next proposed board meeting. Saleta and the city of El Paso and the El Paso School District use an agenda workshop for the entire board to attend to go over the proposed agenda items for the next board meeting. So,
agenda workshop is pretty helpful.
Yes, an agenda workshop. And so, as I understand what Mr. Rodriguez is saying, is he wants a draft policy that has to come back to the board and has to be through the reading process, right, for the first reading or second reading, to restructure the Canutillo policy to allow for an agenda workshop as opposed to your current committee structures. You're having one committee, another committee, and a board meeting. Under this model, you would have the week before the board meeting sometime. Ms. Saleta does it 4 or 5 days before the regular scheduled board meeting. You can do it whenever you want, but a week to 10 days before the regular meeting, you would have an agenda review workshop. The whole board would meet, go over the items that are on the proposed agenda for the regular board meeting, add, delete, discuss, consider possible motions, but there's no action at that meeting. Community input can be taken. Saleta doesn't take community input at their agenda workshop, but you can take it. Formulate what you might want to do at the regular board meeting, and at the regular board meeting, the idea is that would be like having committees. You guys know what the agenda is, you know what the issues are, and then motions can be made to speed things up.
So it would be for an agenda workshop and eliminate standing committees, is that correct?
You would not have standing committee meetings if you did that. The policy would still provide for creation of committees, ad hoc committees, special committees, at the discretion of the board president. That's the way those policies are written. If the board president feels that a committee needs to be established, President Quitzy could create a committee and schedule when it meets. But you would be eliminating your current standing committees when we go into an agenda workshop.
Sure. Is that what the motion needs to say?
I think it's covered based on what you just said. But it's up to you all to debate whether you want to do that. This is a board policy issue.
Of course.
So, if we needed to go over anything having to do with, like for example, when we meet with the auditor, we could do a different committee or workshop just for that and for policy.
Well, you wouldn't have, you could.
A special board meeting
to deal with audit issues. You probably wouldn't have a committee to deal with policy issues because they're going to be dealt with at the agenda workshop and then at the regular board meeting. But you could. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with you saying 6 months from now, well, we need a special committee to review some new proposed policy. You can do it. It's just not going to be typical.
Should the motion mention BDB local?
It's the policy. You can.
Sure.
So we have a motion from Mr. Rodriguez. Do we have a second?
Second.
Sonia?
I've got comment.
Yes.
I don't agree with this. I was raised that if it isn't broke, don't fix it. What we saw the other night was such an honest, open, good conversation between our community. They had the chance to get up here and talk. There was transparency. They had 72 hours ahead of time to read the agenda item, know that it was there. They know that every month in this district, all the community knows, and I know all of our employees know because we send out board notes and reminders that we have these committee meetings. And they are posted as workshops. They're not. We went through this about a year ago when Mr. Rodriguez had a problem with having these committee meetings before. And so we posted them not as just a committee meeting, but as a board workshop. And they have streamlined the time that we spend in our regular meetings to the point where we were getting out at 1 o'clock in the morning. And now, on a general basis, we're out by 9 to 10 o'clock, which I don't consider early at any rate, but you know, after we recognize the students and go through all the new business and anything that people didn't get, we're usually out of here at a decent hour. I personally don't see the Kaniateo School District as wanting to use a template that the city of El Paso or the school district of El Paso uses. That's my, I do not think that the city of El Paso does their business very well. I mean, look at the roads in the city. Look at their bond issues. Look at everything they do. I don't think they're an example to follow at all. I think that we've done a really good job, and I think that it was beyond made clear that we do a good job at including our community, hearing them, and letting them have a voice at the way we've been doing our committees to date. So I don't agree with this policy change at all. I almost feel like there's an underlying factor for it, and I don't know what that is, but it makes me very uncomfortable that it's being brought up to change something that's working very well, as was shown the other night when we had a really huge conflict. Thank you, Ms. Ritson.
Madam Chair,
go ahead, comment. Mr. Medina.
I do believe that the system has been working. I would agree with you there. Having 72 hours, though, may not be the most efficient, most transparent way of publishing our agenda. In my opinion, I know it may differ, but last year and the year before, we've met well over 60 times, and whether we get out one time a month, 4, 9, or 10, I think what it comes down to is being extremely transparent. I believe this agenda workshop will allow the community not only 72 hours, but up to 15 days if we structure it correctly, to have them voice their opinion, to show up, and to have their voices heard instead of, unfortunately, listening to rumors sometimes that, hey, I saw this agenda item, I don't know anything about it, I'm going to react. I think that there's not enough time right now. We publish a regular board meeting on a Friday for consideration on a Tuesday. Not a lot of people get on the computer on a Friday to look at the agenda. Most people will see it on a Monday or react on a Tuesday. So I think it's just lengthening the time that we expose the committee meet, or sorry, the state committee, the regular board meeting agenda to the public and give them time to digest it, because we are very transparent. In fact, we're one of the most transparent districts out there in terms of publishing our agenda items. But I think that we can do a better job in terms of efficiency, because 63 meetings is quite a bit. And that's on a short term. That's just regular meetings, special board meetings, and committee meetings, and you know, it seems quite a bit. So that's just my comment. Thank you.
If I might, Madam Chair, just legal. If you could, just on the 72 hours that happens, no matter if we were to go to workshop or committee structure, right?
It's 72 hours notice.
That's the law. So we have
to
do
it. That's the minimum notice, yes.
And so my biggest thing is, and I mean, I don't want to go into a lot of details, but when you have three members of a committee deciding and the full board doesn't get that information, I think sometimes we've seen issues that have happened where, you know, people pull agenda items, people throw it back to committees, people, you know, we're being inefficient, and we're having staff having to, you know, come in for personnel and then having to come in for finance. What we're trying to do is have one meeting for the community to say, this is going to be posted, and you all, and what I think on the details is having that throughout the year is this committee is going to be posted from here to December. So once it's ready, the 72 hours, you all would get a notice, whoever signs up for the thing, for the email, and saying this is the agenda. The other thing on transparency, which I've tried to push, and I was the one that pushed to make sure that we had the audio tape on the board website, is to make sure that we videotape, because a lot of our community is working, and so for them to have the leisure of watching us at home, you know, streamlining, I think that gives a lot of transparency, and I think that's something that we need to focus on. So those are other issues that we need to work on, but first is setting up a structure where it's consistent and where the community could hold us accountable, all of us being on the table and not just three people. And so I think that's the goal here.
So Mr. Rodriguez, Madam Chair, if I might, Mr. Rodriguez, you can look at the minutes and see that at every one of these meetings that generally speaking, there's a full board sitting there. In fact, you've complained about that in the past, and that's why we turned it into a workshop. And I don't understand why you're so against having these committee meetings. It doesn't make sense to me because they're very effective. They cause the board to be, I mean, we're making million-dollar decisions. And I brought this up last night. How do you make $1 million decision? How do you make a $10,000 decision? How do you make a $1,000 decision?
By having the full board informed.
When you do not have the staff to tell you, when you don't have the community to have the ability to tell you, when you don't have the time to give it the thought and the thought process that you need to have one agenda meeting before your agenda means you're going to be here a really long time because we have two now and we're already here for a significant amount of time. But now to have one means we're going to have a really late meeting. There's not going to be time for public comment. There's not going to be time for anybody's comment, to be honest with you, because there's too much for one agenda to take. I mean, do you not just see the time factor? That if you have every one of these agendas, tonight is a very short agenda, actually. If you took every one of these and put it on one meeting, where none of us had ever talked about it before, and we all sat down to talk about, do you know how long we're going to be here? If you just count it up, you've got a little calculator there, 5 minutes per agenda item. How long are we going to be here? A really, really long time.
There's a difference between, I'll let you finish.
I mean, we're going to be here for an extremely long period of time, and will it be effective? I've sat on this board long enough to see the different models. It's not effective. And you walk away feeling very ill-equipped and also very uncomfortable that you haven't served your community well because you didn't get the information. And, yeah, you got a little taste of it, but to spend the kind of money we spend and to have the responsibilities we have of the students, I just can't. I can't approve of it. I don't see it. I'm sorry.
Any more comments? Yes, sir.
What if, and I think it may happen, what if there's an agenda item that did not meet the workshop deadline? Is it going to be put on the regular board agenda and there's going to be time for...
No, the administration would have to prepare the full board agenda before the workshop meeting is posted. There's a reorganization of the timing, so the administration would have the list of items they want for that month ready. You post that notice, and then you post a notice at least 3 days, because it's 72 hours notice, and probably more like 7 to 10 days to hold your agenda workshop. You hold the workshop, and that workshop could take place 3 to 5 days before the actual board meeting. So if you just back into the time, it's minimum about 8 days.
And the only time that's going to be, there's going to be public input is going to be during the workshop, not during the board meeting unless the rules are suspended, correct?
No.
You post the agenda for public forum at the workshop. You can have it if you want to. You don't have to. And you're required to have it at the very board. That's up to you all as a board to decide.
We're not.
If with the board's approval, I mean, if this does pass this evening, we could do community input at the beginning so that the community is not waiting for us to go through the
whole agenda. Not necessarily, because it would...
If they want to talk another night?
Exactly. Yeah. What if they want to discuss something and it was already discussed ahead of time, and then we discuss something later on? So I don't know.
I think, if I might, one of the things that we could do in streamlining that is some of the things that we do within the committee, we usually wait till the end. But we can set up a system in place with Sonia or whoever would be the secretary, where we could have a form saying, okay, I want to speak on this item, or I want to speak in the beginning, and I want to speak on that. And so that way we could make sure that they get that input within that.
And so I have another issue, too, that we just went over the board operating procedures. We all agreed that this is how we were going to do business. This was in November. And so I question once again, why the instability? Why do you change horses in midstream? We had all agreed at the board operating procedures meeting, these would be our board operating procedures for a year until we reviewed them in another year. I think we even may have written that into policy.
There's a difference between board operating procedures and a committee structure.
But this was in the board operating
procedures. And we did discuss to bring it up in a meeting, which was never brought up. This board hasn't fully vetted that issue in regards to the full board.
We adopted the procedures.
Well, board operating procedures are two different things, so let's not...
But they were within that, is what I'm saying. That is what was within the board operating procedures. That's how the board all agreed they would operate. So I question, you know, why are y'all wanting to change it up right now?
I think for me, to want to expand the minimum... The minimum is okay, I guess, but I think I want to go for more than just the minimum of 72 hours of posting to the public. So I think that's, if you ask me why, I think it might be a good change. And who's to say we don't, you know, modify that at a later date. But I think giving the public the minimum amount of time to see an agenda, it doesn't sit well. I think a good government that's transparent gives the public a maximum amount of time to digest the agenda. And by just saying it's the minimum, I just have an issue with that. But, you know, again.
I'm pretty sure they all got it the other night.
72 hours prior.
Everybody figured it out and got here.
Yeah, and they're going to get it in 72 hours. And now, actually, they're going to get it.
About a week
before that to say this is what's going to be on the agenda. Let's go to the workshop where we could express our opinions. And you could hold all the board accountable and not just three members. You could say, you know, everybody has to be present at that workshop and everybody hears what you all have to say. I wish I was here so I could express my opinions on that, but I wasn't. And so one of the things is we've had issues where, you know, we put it on one committee, it goes to the other committee, and then we take it to the board, then it goes back. That I think when we're all present and we're all getting the same information, we're able to make better decisions for the community. And I think that's one of the most important things. And I think it allows us to work on more systematic approaches to make sure that you all get the information. So if there's an agenda item, you guys have a full week to come to us and say, hey, what's going on here? And then we could have that before, not just 3 days. So,
President Fritzi, could we ask Dr. Galavis and the staff to go through the attendance at our committee meetings for the past year? Because I'm pretty sure they're going to show the entire board was at each and every one of them. Maybe there were one or two that one person was missing. So I can't really buy that the factor that's, you know, going to tip the scale. So possibly when you're bringing forth some kind of new plan for this, you'd bring forth how many, if Dr. Galavis, you could please include with that a little history, a little overview of attendance at committee meetings.
Mr. Rodriguez, Mr. Rodriguez, did you have a comment?
I don't have a problem, but it might be inconsistent because I know on some committees it's just the committee members that are present that are actually on the minutes. But we could look into it. And the other thing is, what we're actually doing, what we did last night was a workshop. It wasn't a committee meeting. We had the full board present. And what happened at the other committee meeting, we had a committee meeting and there wasn't the full board present. And so what we're actually...
Well, actually, Mr. Rodriguez, the full board was present, just Mary and I were not.
Were
actually because back of there. But we were not sitting here at the podiums, yes, because we arrived late because we were here for the next regular
special board meeting. That's the way a committee structure is supposed to run. And then what happens
but this is the first time they've done this, that they come in late and...
Yeah, usually we all sit here.
But it's inconsistent because we've seen where, you know, I won't point fingers, but where many of us are sitting in the audience and we pick and choose when we want to come up to the podium. I mean, to the dais, and I think it gives us more accountability to the community to make sure that everybody's up here when the community's addressing concerns, and that way we as a board can address those. And what I want to go on legal counsel in regards to the concerns of actually making decisions with a committee structure, the technicalities of that, would you know what I'm talking about?
I think so. If you want me to give you legal advice on it, I would have to go into closed session. If you want me to discuss generally committee structure, generally speaking, a committee is an appointed group that's less than a quorum of the whole. Otherwise, you have to post notice for a regular or a special board meeting or a workshop. That's three members, typically. That means you have to have two members to hold a committee meeting because you have to have a quorum of the committee. There's nothing illegal, there's nothing wrong. We've gone through this, and I know Mrs. Strolls brought that up previously. There's nothing wrong with having more than the committee appear at a meeting, provided notice is posted. And we do. The school district posts committee meetings as special work sessions in the board. And we did that to address that concern where more than two members of the committee were appearing. We've had instances where we've had less than two members of the committee appear, and we had to cancel those committee meetings, and so we went to workshops so we could have other people attend. That's up to you all to decide how you want to structure your meetings. You're going to either have committees, and you're going to say only the committee members will participate. It's up to you as a board. Or you're going to say we're going to have special workshops, and the full board can show up. Less than the full board, four or five members can show up, and you guys can discuss the work. And that's what we're doing now. It's a workshop. It's up to you all to decide which way you want to go with that. What you're talking about doing now, it sounds like, is limiting it to one workshop, an agenda review workshop, as opposed to a dual committee structure that makes recommendations to the board.
Correct.
That's it.
So we have a motion and a second. Sonia?
Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
No, can I prefer the committees?
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
No.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
No.
Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes.
For clarity, that's only to bring back a policy?
A first reading.
Okay.
Correct.
Oh, go to the committee.
That changes nothing, and we still have to vote and discuss and fully vet whatever it is that comes back?
That's correct.
Yes.
Next item, Sonia, I believe we're moving to C.
Yes, discussion and recommendation regarding pest control services contract with Watson Pest Management. These services were approved utilizing Region 19 with the co-op contract number 147040.
I'd like to postpone this item. Is it possible? Are we time sensitive on this one?
This is an item that was brought before, I believe, Ms. Fritzi.
I'd like to have a little further discussion than I think what we can discover tonight. I'm more concerned about their performance, and if possible, could you go back and I'm sure we have plenty of staff that would include a lot of their concerns, which were brought up last week as well regarding the performance of this contract. So if anything, I'd like to not really, because right now we're talking about recommendation regarding the extension of this contract, correct?
No, sir. It's just merely the performance.
Performance.
Yes. It was just a report. Just a report on performance.
Is
that fine with you?
Yeah. I feel that we're not getting a lot of the information that's out there. I think it was rushed to be put on there. We're not properly vetting it. I'd like to, considering we still have the committee structure in place, we put it on Ms. Searle's committee for consideration in April. Well, we haven't changed anything at this point.
The committee structure. It's that's, been worked for you, Mr. Medina.
Just for the sake of clarity, we're going to be discussing the performance. And just FYI, you currently have this services in place through June 30th.
June 30th?
Yes, sir.
As far as any outs on there, are there outs in terms of performance of job?
I've asked Mr. Vasquez to prepare that information. Once it was brought to my attention that there was a discussion, a concern of the performance.
When can we see that? When do you think we can see that?
I can just tell you briefly,
As far as the facilities department is concerned, we're happy with the performance that this company has been providing. Case in point, the bad situation that we had here at the central office, they responded rather quickly to help us, you know, take care of that situation. They've also been able to provide us with, you know, some extra services that, you know, when our maintenance crews or you know, our facilities director asks of them, they're very responsive. As of today, I cannot tell you that there's specific concern that we would have. We would be happy to have them for the next school year as part of our central management company.
I do know that in the past we had issue with the way our campuses looked in terms of how they were spraying. That was a concern that we had last year, I believe. And I don't know if that's been addressed, but I do know that this particular contract was brought up in last week's conversation by our staff that are actually at the campuses. So I want to make sure that we address those concerns, and I'm sure that they've responded, but what they're doing at the campus level may be something different. So I just want to make sure that we're not saying, yeah, they're great because they respond to us, but maybe their performance at the campuses may not be to the level that we expect or that we're paying for, honestly.
Absolutely. And in regards to that, Mr. Medina, I'm not aware of any specific campus concerns. If I can look for that information, I can request, you know, what the specific issues are.
Yes.
And then we can definitely go and address them.
Mr. Vasquez,
yes, ma'am.
Madam Chair, may I ask?
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Vasquez, are they spraying currently the pre-emergent for the weeds at the campuses?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Are they spraying outside the campuses the pre-emergent for the weeds? The, you know, like as the weeds are starting to come up, like right now the grass is brown, but you can tell those green weeds are coming.
Yes, they are.
Okay, thank you. That's all, thank you.
Any other questions, any other comments?
Does this go out to bid?
What we did last time when we did bring this item forward is we're piggybacking off of the Region 19 COA. That's what we're doing.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. And so to put out a bid, yes, that's also another consideration. We do not have to go through the COA. We can prepare a formal bid.
One of the things that I have concerns in regards to cooperatives, we go through the cooperative to pretty much, it's a politically correct word of circumventing the RFQ or RFP process, because they do. And the biggest concern I have with cooperatives is that when we don't have three quotes or something, then we're not able to see if the district is getting the best price and the best service.
Would you like to go to RFP?
What I'm saying is, if there's going to be if you're going to go through a cooperative, there's many cooperatives out there, and if there's somebody in another cooperative, or if it's under that threshold, if you could bring us a quote to make sure that the district's getting the best price,
sure,
and best service.
Definitely, and one of the things that these co-ops do offer is they do place their awarded contracts on you know, in the internet, on the website, and I can bring you forward the comparison analysis that they provide. Within this contract, they provided what the vendor should be charging per spray, per service. So all of that is laid out, and the vendor cannot go beyond that pricing. They cannot set their pricing. That is set pricing. So I can, moving forward, when we go through a COA, bring you forward the pricing that they're providing, the analysis, and I'll even bring forward, you know, some comparison.
Separate, yeah.
Okay, so what we try to do is go local. This is a local vendor. Yes, there is additional vendors that are out there local. So what we do is there is a comparison that I do in the background, and I will bring that through.
The thing is, some of these cooperatives go into a three-year contract, which,
yes, they do.
Let's say the market conditions drop in the second,
correct,
or third year.
But they're locked into that.
Yeah, but, which is a benefit. Then we go with the cooperative, but let's say the market dropped where we're getting a 25% discount, but we didn't know that because we're not. So if that's just a concern I have and I've always had within cooperatives. So.
Madam Chair,
yes,
Ms. Campbell,
yes, ma'am.
Mr. Medina has asked if this could come back to the April committee meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
And could you bring us a list of the services they provide?
Sure, definitely. In fact, what we can do is, before you leave tonight, I'll provide you a quick, just a copy of
snapshot,
what we originally agreed to.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
That's fine.
Any
thank
other
you
questions?
No.
Next item, Sonia.
Item 8, executive session. Time is 7:30. The committee is to be closed under Texas Government Code Sections 551.071, 551.072, and 551.073. A special discussion to inform the status of litigation with prevention and application of our Western Electric Company to change rates pending before the State Office of Administrative Hearings, SOAH document number 473-53-17UC document number 44912. A discussion regarding the classification of real property. C. Discussion regarding administration's recommendation for assistant principal or under the board of school. Item D. Discussion regarding approval of administrative contracts.